2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. As we, again, turn to this, I just encourage you to turn with me. I think it's page 818 in the Bibles that are in your pew. If you've brought your own, again, I encourage you to take a look-see at them as well. 2 Corinthians, beginning, chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It says here in the Word of God, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, 'I believe and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving so to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen are eternal." This is the Word of God. Jars of clay. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." This week has been a week in which I have shared and walked with many of you and many people outside of this congregation in which this passage has become a huge reality. It seems like at every turn of this week, every day of this week, the reality of the jars of clay has been at the forefront. That as I seem to pick up my phone, check my messages, whatever it might be, someone was reaching out talking about how they were perplexed, how they were persecuted, how they felt afflicted, how they were simply struck down. And to be honest with you, as I walked with many people in this brokenness, if you know me at all, this week was a week in which I felt very broken. Because not only do I struggle with my own demons, and not only do I struggle with my own perplexed nature, but then I walk the walk with all of you in the world in which I live, and suddenly I feel like, how in the world can we survive? How in the world can I make your lives better? How in the world can we make it in the world today? I mean, it was little things, it was large things. Whether it be the tragedy in D.C. of yet another shooting, and the pain of people unable to live in relationship with one another in the world, whether it be the difficulty of diagnosis and of treatment and of furthering illnesses, whether it be, again, the challenges of who we're called to be as parents or as husband or as wife, just the challenges that keep coming in and the reality that we are clay jars. We don't understand that in our society today. Again, if I say clay jar, I had to find a clay pot. Because we don't use them. We don't store them. And yet Paul makes it clear in this passage that within this vessel that God uses, we are often broken. I tried to find one that was kind of nice but kind of dirty because, you know, we're not perfect. And then as life comes our way, the challenge is this, that, again, the cracks begin to form. Life comes in and the chips begin to fly off. And within this context of brokenness, of crackness, of fragileness, what do we do? I mean, again, it's clear in Scripture. It says jars of clay. Physical, emotional, relational, fiscal, environmental brokenness. Yuck. But if you go on, what does it say? It says, but there is life in Christ. It says very clearly that, again, we are filled with death, the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ might dwell within us. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we believe, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us, that we are called to not lose heart. For though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed. So there are the jars of clay, but there is hope in Christ. Why didn't I feel that this week? Why didn't the people who I went and visited, talked with, communicated with, didn't feel that this week? Why is it that we read this passage and we can affirm the fact that we are clay and earthen pots and we are broken and that the, again, Spirit of God dwells within us and it sounds so good? But I struggle to see it. As I read through commentators, one of them told a story. And a story that I think many of us would love. It was a Chinese proverb. And it was about a gentleman who was an old Chinese man who would go and walk to the mountains for a long, long period of time, a long distance, and he would carry his water home. But the story was really about the earthen clay vessels that he used. Because he had two, one that was perfect and new and beautiful and could be filled to the brim and hold the water for the entire journey. But the other one was an old clay pot that was chipped and worn and broken, and he would fill it at the source of water, but by the time he got home, it would only be half full. And he did this for year after year, and the whole time his grandson watching him carry the water, and finally as the grandson came to maturity, he said, "Grandfather, why in the world would you hold on to that ugly, broken pot that never, ever stays full and it's a waste of your time? It makes no sense." And the old man looked at his grandson and said, "Have you looked at the path? And he was like, what do you mean? If you look at the path where that pot has gone, you see the beautiful flowers that have been born and raised up because of the water dripping into that. And what a beautiful thing that this pot has created. Out of that brokenness, out of our chipped nature, out of this earthen vessel comes life. What a great story. I didn't see the flowers this week, folks. And I don't know about all of you, but as I sat and as I wrestled with this, I said, why not? This story, this passage is simple and it's clear. We are jars of clay. Jars of clay that are prone to chipping and cracking and breaking. We are human beings, perplexed, struck down, afflicted, persecuted. But within that there is life in Christ. Through death there is life. Renewal of the Spirit. Flowers out of the cracked pot. Why is it that we don't see that? And I would say to you this morning, it's because of the zombie syndrome. Zombie syndrome. Did you know one existed? Zombie syndrome. Believe this as you may or may not. How many of you, I know many people here have gotten into some running and some things. You've heard of zombie runs now, right? You've now seen zombies on commercials on TV, right? Zombies have become very popular to the point of one person saying that zombies pump $5 billion into our economy every year. True. $5 billion into our economy because of the zombie movement, all right? What's going on? Why do people like zombies? And I'll say it to you this way. Because people like the undead. Our society is obsessed with living forever. And there's a piece of us that likes that whole mystery and the occult and the idea of that we will not die, but we will live forever. Or another way of putting it is, we're kind of like this pot. We like to fill our lives with plastic. It doesn't break. It stays shiny. It seems to last forever. We like zombie world. And because we are so attracted and because we are so aware of our humanity, we want to live forever. But what does it say in the scripture passage? At the end, I believe, is the most critical point of this passage. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen, eternal. We understand this pot, but we don't like it. We understand that we are earthly and that we are broken and we are chipped and we are struggling, but when we look for answers, we look to the zombie. We look to the things of this world. If I have more money, I'll be okay. If I have a new outfit, I'll look better. If I get some plastic surgery, it'll all be better. If I have powerful friends, I'll make sure I'm in the right place. We continue to try to fill this pot with things of this world, and avoid those chips and those cracks and try to fill them and feel good. And yet, folks, honestly, it does not work. The treasure that is inside of our clay pot, that which truly can fill us, is something that is unseen. Something that is about the eternal. Something that is bigger than this world and this life. And we struggle. Because all we know is this world. All we have touched is this world. And yet God's word clearly states that if you want to make it in this, it's got to be filled with that which is eternal. That which this world can't take away. And that's the challenge. We know we're broken. We know that promise of God. But we're trusting in different promises. We're trying to hook into the zombie culture. We're trying to live forever, and I hate to be the one to tell you, ain't gonna happen. And so today is, for me, a day in which I say, are we really aware? Are we really aware of what brings peace in our life? And what brings hope? I heard a great story. A story about a burglar who broke into a house. And as he's slowly going through the house and trying to take whatever is of value, he hears a voice from over his shoulder. And the voice simply says this: Jesus is watching. And the burglar looks around, gets a little freaked out, but goes on and keeps working. And all of a sudden, yet again, Jesus is watching. Feeling really uncomfortable, goes on, finds something else, and suddenly he hears the voice and it says, Jesus is coming for you. He's really feeling weird. Looking around, and yet again, Jesus is coming for you. He notices something covered in the corner of one room, and he goes over, he uncovers it, and here is a bird in a cage. The bird says and looks at him and says, be prepared. Jesus is coming for you. The guy says, looks at him and says, what in the world? He says, you're just a bird. What do you know? He looks at him again and says, Jesus is coming. He looks and he says, what's your name? The bird looks at him and says, Moses. The burglar looks back and says, what kind of a person would name their bird Moses? And the bird looked at him and said, the same kind of people that name their Rottweiler Jesus. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware that we continually try to do this in our lives. If we have enough plastic, it'll be okay. If we buy into this world, it'll be fine. If I can be like a zombie, I'll live forever. Or we can admit that we are clay jars and that we are dying and that the renewal that we hope and pray for comes from a living God who wants to fill us, an eternal God in which those promises and that hope are eternal. Not transient like this stuff. And that's what brings hope. And that's what can bring peace. And that's what can bring possibilities. One of the things that I have been blessed with is to be with family and with folks when they go to their eternal home. And one of the things that I've found and I've shared with some of you, and some of you have been with me, and that is this. that as I have watched people leave this earth, the healthiest people in my mind that I've watched go home to glory have often been farmers. And I attribute it to the fact that they're aware of this, that in the seasons of crops coming and going, of animals being raised and of animals being slaughtered, of, again, that life on the farm, they understand that there's a rhythm in life and that most of it comes and it goes and that there is only the eternal that is left. Where are we today? Tomorrow the doctor could call me and say, Paul, you've got cancer. Again, a chip, a nick, a crack. And yet, what do I show my children, my neighbors? Do I show them, again, that drive to get everything done in this world? Do I become a zombie? Or in the midst of the brokenness, do I show them the hope of an eternal God, a loving God? I am not saying it's easy, but what I've realized this week is it's the only way, because we can't fill our brokenness with what zombies want to fill it with. We've got to fill our brokenness with the love and the grace and the life of Jesus Christ, which is eternal. So join me this week. Admit that you're broken. Admit that you're hurting. Admit that we trust this way too much. And we've just got to say, you know what? This is who I am. And it's only the Spirit of God that can really transform and change. And see if we can find that life that Paul talks about. Amen.